T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. We're ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready. Under pressure, is that what this is?
That is exactly what this is.
Little Billy Joel, chosen by producer Cole Duggar today.
He is, with his head on backwards.
He was thinking about this for hours. What are we going to play for overtime? You know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. He's driving in like, it's going to be Billy Joel.
Yeah, lots
of
pressure.
I love Billy Joel.
I do too.
It's 8:32, and you're hearing the dulcet tones of John Hancock.
Hey, I've got the moves like Jagger.
You do?
I do.
Okay, you'll show them off for us in the next commercial break.
Hi,
Amy Marks-Kors.
Oh, hello, Debbie. I was just thinking, Hancock has the moves like Jagger, which really puts a damper on the fact that this is radio.
Yes, it does.
Nobody wants to see it.
That's okay. We will we'll Facebook Live it. How about that?
Yeah.
That is a good thing. And Braxton Payne.
Good morning. Democratic, happy Friday.
Thanks to you, too. Democratic strategist with Show Me Victories.
And he has two mooses.
What?
On my pocket.
Or would it be two moose?
Meese.
Aren't they moose?
Meese.
Not mooses?
There's buffalo, too. I just noticed that.
You're looking very outdoorsy today, Braxton.
You got a pocket, and it has, you know, some outdoor life on it.
Well, it's winter now, which is the worst time of year, so.
I love it.
Ugh.
Okay.
It is absolutely.
Like, this makes me want to be friends with, you know, like, Andy Williams. You know,
he's dead.
I know. I forgot.
All your friends are dead.
Before we get into the first topic, since we have this conversation starting, I posted something yesterday on my Facebook page because I came across this article that was so true to me, and it was a researcher trying to figure out, because a lot of people get depressed during the winter, seasonal affective disorder and stuff here. So she wanted to find out about Norwegians, because in Norway in the winter, it's not only a long, cold winter, but it gets very dark and they don't have as much sunlight. But she found the opposite of what she thought. She thought there would be greater rates of depression, and there were actually much fewer rates than here. And she found out it was because of their attitudes going into winter, that they feel that winter is something to embrace, not to dread. And I thought, you know, that is very true, because I grew up in Chicago, where everybody spent the entire winter complaining about the winter. And then I moved to Wisconsin, where everybody's like, hey, it happens every year. Get a parka and some boots and go out and find something fun to do. And it really makes a huge difference to get through the winter if you have an attitude like, hey, you know, get a warm coat.
Yes, there are so many positives to winter. If anything, humidity makes it impossible to be elegant, right? But think about this.
No bugs?
Yeah, the more layers you wear, the more stylish you appear.
I don't care how much I change my attitude. I still hate winter.
You have a bad attitude,
Braxton. The only thing that is good with winter is Mariah Carey's song, All I Want for Christmas. That is the only thing winter is the worst. I mean, especially, we didn't even get a fall this year. So, I mean, how everyone was so excited for fall, you know, with all their fall colors, their pumpkin spice, blah, blah, blah. And we didn't even get a fall.
Well, this weekend is just for you, Braxton. It's going to be mostly sunny and 58.
Okay,
it'll be perfect.
This guy.
I'm
very passionate.
When you're an old man, you got the grumpy thing down. You're
South
gonna
Florida.
Be a great old man.
South Florida, here I come.
Will you wear black socks with your sandals?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's just now in fashion.
I wear white tube socks or colorful, like, smart wool socks with Birkenstocks. But again, as we've established yesterday, I don't get out much.
All right. Well, we digress from the urgent issues of the day, but I just wanted to throw that in. So if you find yourself hating winter, just try to find something to embrace about
it. The most wonderful
find
time
an
of
activity.
Year.
Yes.
I love winter.
I actually get very
all
excited
four
about
seasons
snow.
Are awesome. They're all awesome in their own way.
It's true. Not to say I don't complain when it's an ice storm or when it's cold and damp. I will complain about being cold sometimes, but I look forward to snow. Okay. Are we looking forward to the 2020 presidential election? I'm going to start with the latest news, which is Michael Bloomberg apparently contemplating jumping back in. Now, if you remember, he had said that he wasn't going to run, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago. I don't remember when. He wasn't going to do it. But privately, apparently, he's been weighing this bid for weeks, and he's expected to file some paperwork designating himself as a candidate in at least one state with an early filing deadline. I think that might be Alabama or something.
It is Alabama.
Yeah. The former New York City mayor and billionaire businessman and his advisors called a number of prominent Democrats yesterday to tell them he was seriously considering it, including Harry Reid of Nevada, former senator. So what impact do you think this would have on the primaries, John Hancock? He doesn't feel that any of the current crop of candidates can beat Donald Trump.
Well, he's got a point there. I think this probably is a net benefit for Donald Trump because Bloomberg's going to get in, mix it up. He will have some appeal. I don't think he'll have great appeal in a Democratic primary base. But, you know, if the Democrats really believe that their chief objective here is to get Donald Trump out of the White House. They're wealthy people ought to be spending their largesse right now attacking Donald Trump. So you take this guy, Tom Steyer, and you take Bloomberg, instead of promoting themselves, if they were using those same resources to go, you know, run a $100 million digital campaign against Donald Trump in the battleground states, they do some damage. But so I think this may accrue to Trump's benefit.
Braxton?
Yeah, I just don't see a path for him to win the nomination. I mean, I don't think he gets the support from the African-American community, mainly because of his policies in New York with stop and frisk. I think that's going to be a big problem. I also think, you know, you have to have a coalition to beat Donald Trump in a general election. I don't think he can put that together. He doesn't have an Obama type coalition. I also think, you know, he did spend a lot of money in Virginia just this last election. You saw the state Senate and the state House both flip for Democrats. I would love to see him use his money to do more state races. I mean, those are things that affects people's lives on a day-to-day basis, and he could really have a good impact in those races.
Yeah, you know, you can do a lot of things last minute. You know, you can be like, oh, hey, let's go to Six Flags. We haven't gone to Six Flags in a while. Or you can go to the zoo, if you know, on a Saturday and pick up the family and throw them in the station wagon and go to the zoo. The presidential primary is a bit of a surprise for a last-minute decision, and it does feel rushed, and it does feel last minute. I mean, when you make a decision to join a primary and they're telling you have to get your paperwork in that day, that's a hurried state that you are in at that point. So it's a little bit surprising, though, because why would he go through this all this rigmarole if he doesn't think he actually has a shot?
Oh, I think he thinks he has a shot.
Yeah, it's ego. I think he does, too.
Yeah, and, you know, and he does make a point. I think right now, if the Democrats nominate Elizabeth Warren, you know, I don't think Bernie Sanders did, but if they nominate Elizabeth Warren, they run a real risk of losing this election to a president whose approval numbers are historically low going into a reelect. So
I also think Michael Bloomberg has name ID, which is important in any crowded field. Right. So he is going to be able in Iowa to at least get, I think, Tom Steyer numbers. And Tom Steyer has been running millions of dollars in ads on impeachment before he even announced. And he still doesn't have the name ID of a Michael Bloomberg.
Well, and to your point, he's got his policies against him, right? Because he does have some controversial policies. He had the stop and frisk policy in New York, and also the fact that he's Michael Bloomberg billionaire. Right now, that's not a popular group of people, even though it's really small. You're hearing that word more than you would normally hear it.
What would be interesting is if he does run and were to get the nomination, it reminds me of the last gubernatorial race here in Missouri, because then it would be a former Democrat turned Republican president running against a former Republican turned Democrat mayor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
It's pandemonium.
What's happening? And we're living here in Allentown. Right? All right. Just checking my Billy Joel knowledge.
Yep. Well done.
We're living here in downtown St. Louis in Studio B. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Markscores, Braxton Payne, and John Hancock. John mentioned Elizabeth Warren before the break, and Bill Gates has been thinking about Senator Elizabeth Warren as well. Over the wealth tax that she has proposed, and there is now a calculator for the billionaires. Some billionaires seem confused about how much they would pay under Elizabeth's ultra-millionaire tax. Don't worry, now we have a calculator for that too, says the campaign's tool. That, of course, coming after Bill Gates made comments about Warren's plan, speaking with the New York Times. The calculator allows users to pick from eight billionaires like Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg to see how much the campaign estimates they would pay under Elizabeth Warren's proposal based on their estimated net worth. Just in case you were wondering, Gates, for example, would pay about $6.4 billion under the wealth tax based on an estimated net worth of $107 billion. What do you think about this approach, Braxton? Is this going to sell with the public or turn people off?
I think it's going to turn people off. I mean, I think the calculator is a great idea in theory, but also I think Andrew Yang was on CNN yesterday, and he's the candidate that wants to provide universal income for $1,000 for every American. That's a far-out idea and a very socialist idea.
Although Donald Trump did say we'd all get $1,000 from our tax return, so.
Well, he lies about everything, so that's a different story. But I thought Andrew Yang's answer on this was interesting. He said the 2% wealth tax did not work in countries like France. In Spain, they saw that their projected revenues did not hit what they thought it was, and they ended up scrapping the idea. So maybe it's a great idea in theory, but I thought even Andrew Yang, which is a far left candidate, can see that this 2% tax will not play well. Well, actually, maybe will play well, but it won't work in the end.
Amy?
Yeah, the wealth tax has not been successful at all in Europe, and I know Elizabeth Warren, when faced with that reality, said she has a plan for that, which is not a surprise. She has a plan for a lot of things. But, you know, you can look at this a couple different ways. First, with the wealth tax on the billionaires, it still doesn't generate enough money to pay for all of these promises that Elizabeth Warren and the other Democratic candidates are making, whether it is a universal or single-payer health care or eliminating student loan. It's just not enough money. You could tax the billionaires 100%, and it wouldn't be enough money. As far as the actual calculator goes, I did get on the website, which is on Elizabeth Warren's actual website, and it might be the most condescending thing I've ever seen. I clicked on it. It's like, are you a billionaire? Yes, no. And I did both options. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. And I said, yes, I am. And said, are you Michael Bloomberg or Jeff Bezos? And I said, yes, I am. And I clicked on it. And it shows me how much I'm going to pay in taxes, $3 billion, what have you, $4 billion. It says, congratulations, you've made a lot of money. And if you go through the process not as a billionaire, you get to pick your billionaire of choice. And it says, don't worry about Bill Gates. He'll be just fine. It's an incredibly, like I said, condescending concept. The way it is executed on the website is condescending. And I'm pretty sure billionaires already have calculators.
There's a cardinal rule of economics. If you want less of something, you tax it. And years ago in the state of Missouri, we raised the tax on luxury boats. Y'all remember that? The yacht tax. And what happened? We sold fewer yachts. And what happened? The people who build the yachts lost their job. If you want less of something, you tax it. If you want less wealth in the country, then you tax wealth. And less wealth is not beneficial to a society. That money is going to find another place to go, and it won't be here. This is so fundamentally ignorant of basic economic principles that these policies that are being espoused by Elizabeth Warren, I think, even in this country where we don't teach economics anymore, I think people are going to be hip to this. And doing stuff like this is going to get her beaten.
Yeah, we also have 87 days till the first caucus. So I think we're going to see a lot of this play out. You're going to see a lot of candidates drop out between now and then. Yes, she may be the front runner right now, but once you're the front runner, you start getting attacked. I think we're seeing it with Mayor Pete right now. We're going to see it with Elizabeth Warren. It's just going to continue. And I think once we see that, the field's going to dwindle out, and we'll see the real contrast in the Democratic primary.
Well, let's talk about NATO, because French President Emmanuel Macron told The Economist that Europe can no longer rely on the United States to defend NATO allies. According to this article, Macron said the alliance should reassess the reality of what NATO is in light of the commitment of the United States. He added that the U.S. shows signs of turning its back on us. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg later distanced himself from those comments, as did German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The NATO members are scheduled to meet in London next month to mark the alliance's 70th anniversary. President Trump, Amy, has not had great things necessarily to say about NATO during his tenure. But what do you make of Macron's statements?
Yeah, Macron's statements are Trumpian in impropriety, I would say. This is not a good message to be sending. NATO has been historically one of the most successful alliances in the history of the United States. And and you can argue, you know, for or against different aspects of it. But it's not a message that you want to send to Russia. It's not a message that you want to send to China. And in fact, the NATO secretary, when he distanced himself from Macron's statements, said European Union is key and we want European Union, but we can't have European Union by sacrificing transatlantic union and how important that is. So I find these statements surprising, undiplomatic, and lacking tact in every way.
Yeah, the thing is he, I don't know if he's exactly wrong. I mean, Donald Trump has buddied up with North Korea. He's trying to do trade deals with China. I mean, Russia helped him win an election. I mean, so that's one of the things I think those are Trump's friends. So if our traditional allies in NATO, I mean, he just pulled out of Syria, you know, and let our Kurdish friends that has helped us in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, he just let them go to by the wayside. 11,000 people died because of his decisions. I mean, so I don't think he's completely wrong. I do think NATO needs to be a strong force to fight back against China and Russia and terrorism in general. But I mean, I don't trust Trump to do anything. So he is so impulsive.
He is right. I mean, and you can't trust him not to be a loose cannon. But the alliances with the Kurds and the alliance in NATO are fundamentally different alliances.
They are. Donald Trump's wrong on NATO. And, you know, this is what has kept the peace in this world for the last 70 years. And it's a major part of it. And the fact that we have the backs of our allies and they can count on it. And we have mutual defense. NATO came to our defense after 9/11. Yeah. Every one of those nations joined the effort in the war on terror with us. And, you know, to denigrate NATO, and the president has done it. He's wrong about it, and it's destabilizing for the world's security, and that policy needs to change.
Well, we're going to take a break. It's 8:51 when we return, round three of Overtime on KMOX.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
All right, I was challenged to a sort of name that Billy Joel tune.
This one's got me stumped.
Which one is this, Amy?
I don't know.
What is it? Oh, I'm doing it all for Lena. Okay. Hey, there's a new book out. If you haven't gotten tired yet of reading books about President Trump,
no, there aren't enough out
there. There are hardly any. By the way, interestingly, a question, Braxton would love this one. President Trump tweeted that everyone should buy his son, Donald Trump Jr.'s new book. And then people are like, you know what? That is a violation. You are not supposed to endorse any products or tell people to buy things. I guess nobody will investigate that.
Well, he was on The View yesterday, so his book's called Triggered, and I don't think they ever mentioned the name of the book once in the entire segment. So
that's bad marketing. Still,
that's what the president
is advertising for his son's book. There you go. But he's not going to advertise for this book. No way. It's an upcoming tell-all called The Warning that claims that Vice President Mike Pence considered supporting the use of the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. Excerpts of the book, written by the anonymous Trump administration official who authored a resistance op-ed in the New York Times last year, were reported by the Huffington Post. So we don't know who is writing this, but the author says aides thought Pence was prepared to sign a letter invoking the 25th Amendment, allowing the president to be removed from office if he is deemed unfit to discharge the duties of the office. Pence, of course, is denying those claims. But what do you make of the anonymous and Pence's contradicting statements, Braxton Payne?
Well, I'm kind of annoyed that it's anonymous because I would like to know who it is. But I understand why they are anonymous because, I mean, if Donald Trump Jr. can tweet out the name of the whistleblower, I mean, you know, what means they're not going to do intimidation of this writer? I think the 25th Amendment is something very strong, and it's probably been discussed in the Trump White House many times because he is unstable. I mean, he might be an unstable genius in air quotes, but I mean, I just think it's not surprising. I would like to read it. I think it would be very interesting to know this point in period, and maybe after Trump's out of the White House, he does come out, you know, and tells us who he or she is.
John, you get the last word.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know who Anonymous is.
Are you going to tweet it out?
I'm not going to say. Anonymous is a wimp. Is what I think. I mean, he's a chicken coward wimp.
Oh.
Oh, those are
fighting words from John Hancock. All right. Well, we will have news at the top of the hour, and then it is Hancock and Mark's Scores. Stick around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.